Good morning. Thank you for allowing us to switch up the service a little bit this morning. I knew the message that I had, and then last evening, being my son is on the worship team, he told me the songs that were prepared, and I said, that's really going to fit well to close what God has for us today. So we've moved worship to the end as our response to the word that God has for us. This morning, the title is Jesus is Coming. Don't always go there, but Jesus is coming. A word to us who are saved and a word to the unsaved this morning. You may turn with me if you wish, or you may just listen to this first opening verses as I begin. It's found in 1 Corinthians 15. We'll spend some time here at the end of the message, but I'll begin in 1 Corinthians 15. And this is a word of warning to the saved here this morning. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 33 and 34, says, do not be deceived. Evil corrupts. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Turn with me to Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, starting in verse 1, this is a message to the unsaved. If you are not saved by the grace of God this morning, I pray that your chair would begin to get hot. In Matthew 22, verse 1, it says, and Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding. And they were not willing to come. Again, he sent out other servants, saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm and another to his business. And the rest seized his servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But when the king heard about it, he was furious. And he sent out his armies, destroyed those murderers, and burned up their city. And then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways, and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all who they found, both bad and good. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. And so he said to him, friend, how do you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. And the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot, take him away and cast him into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, you have to have your wedding garment on. You have to be saved to enter heaven. Notice in verse 10, it lists the good and the bad. You have to be saved. Whether you're a rabbi or a thief on the cross, you have to be saved. Goodness does not have to do anything with it. You have to be saved. You have to believe that Christ's death paid the penalty for your sin and accept him as your Lord and Savior. Even if you only get 30 seconds before your last breath, this is what you have to do to get to heaven. There's no other way in. All are welcome, but few humble themselves enough to fit through the door of Christ and his sufferings on their behalf. Turn with me to Matthew 25. Matthew 25 is a message to the saved and the unsaved this morning, starting in verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered and saying, no, lest there should be not enough for us and you, but go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. And afterwards, the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. And he answered and said, surely I say to you, I do not know you. And verse 13 says, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Brothers and sisters, here we need to be prepared. This message is for all of us. If the Lord tarries at all after you are saved, you need to begin to prepare for his return. In fact, is this not true? The more prepared you should be in direct link to how long you've been saved. Maybe. The longer you've been saved, the more prepared you are. It's actually a challenging statement. The point is that we need to be prepared. We cannot dilly-dally around down here. There is coming a day that we do not know when it will be. But there is a coming a time that we will not be here anymore. Ready or not, here he comes. Jesus is coming. Turn with me to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, starting at verse 32. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, Jesus says, will by no means pass away. And if you are at prayer meeting, you got a little prelude to this message on that verse. But we'll continue on now here in verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away. So also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Then two will be in the field, and one will be taken and the other left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour our Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Please, please be ready. My prayer is that everyone here will be ready when God calls them home. Continuing on in verse 45 of Matthew 24, he says, "Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his master made ruler over his household, to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom the master, when he comes, will find so doing. Assuredly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant says in his heart, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and he begins to beat his fellow servants and to eat and drink with the drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour that he is not aware of. And he will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. And there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." That's a statement. It's not a question. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The future is bleak for those who are not ready to meet the Lord. You'll see this weeping and gnashing of teeth several times through the verses that we read. It does not sound very pleasant for those that are not ready. And we who are saved are to always be ready to go. Someday the great horn will blow and we're going to go. My cry today is to be ready. Do not be left behind. My friend from high school grew up with a good buddy of mine, and he was younger. His folks were older, and him and his siblings pooled their money together, and they purchased a big, large print, and they had it hanging in their house. And it was of a rundown, shabby church on the seashore, with a beautiful scenery in the background, and the church was dilapidated, and the gutter was hanging, and the weeds were growing, and there was a crooked sign on the door that said closed due to rapture. And when I was younger, it's hard for you to believe, but I actually talked faster than I thought. And so I walked up to that picture one day, and I said to his mom, I said, "Well, who hung the sign?" He didn't like that. She threw the picture away then. Then I felt bad. The point is, there's coming a Sunday that the doors are going to be locked out here. I don't want you to be knocking on an empty building. Nobody's going to answer. Well, maybe, hopefully nobody answers the door. You never know. The doors are going to be locked some Sunday morning. And for years and years, this will be empty. Don't be left. Be ready. Turn with me to Matthew 13. starting in verse 24. Verse 24 of Matthew 13. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. And so the servants of the owner came and said to him, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' And he said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' And the servant said to him, 'Do you want us to go and gather them up?' And he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them, but then gather the wheat into my barn.'" And so, again, us here this morning, we get to grow in the world. We get to grow with the tares. And I pray that you're growing this morning. We get to grow right alongside the rest of the world. And we are waiting for the harvest, when the saved and the unsaved will be sorted out and judged. Some will be saved into God's barn, as it says here. And some will be burned in God's holy fire. Please get yourself in the barn. You know what to do. Repent of your sin. Believe that Christ's death and resurrection was for you, and live with the hope and anticipation of his return. Amen. Please get in the barn. Judgment fire is eternal and not pleasant. For those of us who have received the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are instructed how to live in the next few verses. He talks about the kingdom of heaven. And as I see it, it's our kingdom of heaven here on earth while we live. The mindset that we need to have still on earth is described to us in these next few verses found in Matthew 13. We're going to pick up at verse 31. In Matthew 13, he says, "Another parable he put forth to them, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds, but when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches.'" If you can imagine with me this morning a picture of what your salvation is to look like. We are to plant the smallest seed of our faith that we receive into our hearts. We're to plant it. And we're to water it. And we're to fertilize it. And we're to prune it. And we're to grow it. So that that tiny seed becomes a tree, that others can come and rest, that other weary travelers can rest in the shade and the protection of our faith. We are to grow our faith to encourage others. This is the story of the mustard seed of faith. We are to grow our faith so that it enlarges and encourages others. Our instructions continue in verse 33. How to live out our Christian faith as we bring the kingdom of heaven mindset here to earth. And it's just one sentence, and there's a lot in here. Verse 33, another parable he spoke to them. "The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened." And I can just see his disciples scratching their head. Huh? Brothers and sisters, our faith is to permeate every part and facet of our lives. Like leaven affects the whole dough, so that our faith is so intertwined and united into our lives that no one can see where we stop and our faith begins, that we're one. We and our Christian faith are to be one and the same. There is no room for a Sunday morning only Christian in this verse. None. There's no room for a Sunday morning only Christian in this verse. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until it was all leavened. Skim down with me to verse 44 in Matthew 13. Two parables, verses 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. And to us here this morning, again, friends, there is to be nothing, nothing, nothing more valuable in our lives or in any of our possessions than the faith that we possess, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. All mountains, all cabins, all gold, all Bitcoin, all boats, all motorhomes, all motorcycles, all vacation homes, even every one of our houses combined have to be valued as the dust that they are in comparison to the worth of our salvation in Jesus Christ. All that we have is going to burn. It's all going to burn. Let's keep our focus on Christ and his kingdom, because we know that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and we know that he is coming soon. Amen. Verse 47 of Matthew 13. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore. And they sat down and they gathered the good into vessels, but they threw the bad away. And so it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth and separate the wicked from among the just and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth for those, again, who are cast into the fire. Do you notice he doesn't separate the wicked from the good again? He says the wicked in a New King James Version. It says he separates the wicked from the just, from those of us who are justified by the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the one who are just, those who have been saved. But oh boy, if you're not saved, this message is to plead with you who may be left weeping at the second coming of Christ. I want to make sure that you heard. I want to make sure that you've been warned. He is coming. Jesus is coming. Will you be ready? Or will you be left knocking on a dusty, dirty door out front of an empty church building? The picture for those who are not ready to meet Jesus when he returns is bleak and somber, with statements that are scary. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. There's not really more of a dramatic way to say that. It's not there might be. It's not maybe. There will be. Parents, talk to your children, especially today. Make sure they're not scared. Just make sure they're prepared. And if they're scared, it's okay. We all are. There's a part of us, our human nature, that a little bit of fear. It's natural. But use this opportunity to talk to your parents. And if they have asked Jesus into their heart, write it down. Help them to remember where they were and how it happened. And remember it. Write it down. It's a stake that you can plant, that you can go back to affirm. Remembering the joy of our salvation gives us that blessed assurance. Amen. Remembering the joy of our salvation gives us the blessed assurance. And now you can turn with me to 1 Corinthians 15. Back to there. First Corinthians 15, starting in verse 35. 1 Corinthians 15, 35. But some will say, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Foolish one. What you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives us a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. So let's take a break there. Let's try and grasp what Paul is saying. Did you catch that? It appears as if the Corinthians were worrying about how these bodies were going to come up out of the ground again. That's what it appears like. And Paul says, no. Look at the crops of the field. In order to have wheat, you must bury a wheat seed. But when you bury a wheat seed, do you get a wheat seed? No. When one wheat seed dies, according to Crop Watch, I looked it up, one wheat seed, when it dies in the ground, has about five heads per plant. Each head has 22 seeds. That's 110 on average wheat seeds per one tiny little grain. And Paul says, that's us. What we know and what we have when we're buried, according to this scripture, comes back, multiplies. We can't even fathom that. I don't know how that works. It's going to be wonderful. In the same way that this wheat seed multiplies, God will multiply your spiritual body that much more from your old, achy, physical, tired body. Who's ready for that? I'm ready. I tell you, I'm a lot more achy now that I'm 50. I don't know, maybe it's just in my head. Wow. Multiply. When we go and we die, what comes forth, we can't even imagine. Verse 39, all flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another kind of flesh of animals, another of fish, and another of birds. There also are celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. Terrestrial is terra, which means ground, which is earthly. So there's celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies, but the glory of the celestial one and the glory of the terrestrial one is another. There is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for each star differs from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first Adam became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. as was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, who also are those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we also shall bear the image of the heavenly man. Amen. What will that body look like? It sounds amazing. We have been born in God's image through the dust of the earth, and we will bear God's image through the heavenly things. And what in the world does that look like? Sorry, that was a pun. It's not going to look like this world. We don't even know what that's going to look like. We can't even use anything in this world to describe it. We don't know. It's not from this world. You know, I have heard books and stories of those who have gone over to the other side and have, through miracles and medical science, they have been returned to us with, again, outlandish stories. And I don't want to give any one credit here or reference any particular author, but I've heard tales of our senses being magnified multiple times. Our senses of taste and smell and hearing and touch and feelings, one author claims times 10. Now, I don't know, and I can't substantiate those claims, but the thoughts about our senses being magnified do make me wonder. You all know that whatever God made, the devil himself tries to distort, and he tries to destroy. Whatever God has made that's good, the devil has tried to change. And it dawned on me as I studied this text that distorting our God-given senses is exactly what the devil tries to do with many, many folks. You know what it's called? It's called drugs. Distorting your senses. There are drugs that dull our senses. There are drugs that magnify our senses. The devil wants you to trade an eternity of blissful emotions and feeling for a short high here. It's such a lie. Do not believe it. That comes straight from where the devil wants to take you himself, hell. Now let me tell you what I know. And this might be arguable, but the greatest joy on the face of this earth is the intimate love of one man and one woman committed for life in holy matrimony. There is no deeper affection or feeling, and yet that affection and that healing, feeling, that affection and that feeling did not make it to heaven. Stay here and listen as I read Matthew 22, unless you want to turn there. Matthew 22, verse 23, it says, "In the same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him, saying, 'Teacher, Moses said that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now there were with us seven brothers, and the first died, and after he had married, and having no offspring, left his wife to his brother. And likewise the second and the third and even the fourth, even to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they all had her.' And Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven.'" Brothers and sisters, arguably the best that there is on earth didn't make the cut into heaven. It didn't make the cut in heaven. For those of you who find yourself begrudgingly single here this morning, in light of these passages and eternity, you're really not missing out on all that much. In the grand scheme of forever, it's okay. You're fine. Jesus is coming. Back to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now I say this, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I will tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Amen. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen, and praise God. We have the victory. But now, brethren, those of us who are saved, this passage is not over. It's time to put your boots on. Call the worship team to come front. Yes, we are saved. But until that last trumpet sounds, we are still instructed to what? Work. Do not get hung up on works. Just go to work and be happy. You know, you get a lot more done at work when you're happy. Remember the joy of your salvation and go to work. Therefore, my beloved brethren, it says in verse 58, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we have work to do, those who are saved. And if you're not saved this morning, you've heard it. You know what to do. Let me share with you something I shared with the junior high class, and again, I shared with the youth at Bible school. When you're young, the Holy Spirit speaks to you about needing to be saved, and you can hear his voice. The less that you listen to that voice, the less that you hear it. The older you get without heeding that voice, the more quiet that voice becomes. If you get to be 20 years old, it's soft. If you don't listen to that voice by the time that you're 40 years old, that voice is really quiet. And if you get to be 60 years old, that voice is almost undetectable. Please, please, if you hear the voice of the Lord this morning, answer his call. The altar is open for all. If there's any business that you need to do with the Lord this morning, the altar is open. We don't need to assume for what reason that God has asked you to come front, but a brother or sister will come and pray with you. And they'll ask you, how can we pray for you? How can I pray for you? That's the question. How can they pray for you? If someone comes front and another brother or sister would come and put their arm with them and ask them this question, how can I pray with you? It's not a scary thing. It's not. What business do you need to do with God this morning? And if you need His saving grace, it is here for you. Please come and receive it this morning. Amen. Worship team.
You can stand.